Our text this evening is taken from the words of Luke 23 and the verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. In the summer of last year, shortly after our arrival home from the mission field, London erupted into chaos and into violence. The chaos, the criminality, of course, spread to other major cities there on the mainland, as homes and businesses literally were set on fire and ablaze till they burned to the ground. It seemed in many instances the authorities, the powers that be, stood by as helpless onlookers. The television screen presented those images to us here in Northern Ireland, and no doubt it was seen across the world. The government was without question greatly embarrassed and set about not merely to catch the criminals and rightly bring them to justice, but also to make an example of many. I heard of one case where a man was sentenced to 6 months imprisonment because he had stolen a bottle of water. Of course, many were outraged and many felt that was very harsh indeed. Though I must say, a few days after our arrival in Northern Ireland, having lived for years behind bars in Jamaica for security purposes, after a few days having arrived home in Northern Ireland, while my family, a family of seven, were sleeping in their beds, thieves crept in through the window and robbed us. And I must confess, I had very little sympathy for the man who was sentenced to 6 months in prison, because I have very little sympathy with thieves and criminals. I believe in justice. And certainly when we come to our Bible reading this evening, we are presented with two thieves. One, of course, died in the ignorance of his sin, but the other, being enlightened by the Holy Spirit, moments before his exit from this world and his entrance into eternity, he was enlightened by God, and certainly he looked upon his death sentence as something that was just. He said to the other thief, "We are condemned justly. We are under sentence of death justly." It is not my purpose this evening to debate whether or not thieves should be put to death. It is not even our purpose tonight to consider the death penalty in a general way. But this evening I do want to look with you at how Christ dealt with this penitent thief as he was about to enter eternity. Now the first thing that I want to emphasize here tonight, and the first thing that I want to focus our attention upon, is the condition that this thief was in. He was, of course, about to die. As you look there at verse 32, Luke 23, verse 32, we are told there were also two other malefactors led with him, led with Christ, to to be put to death. This man was condemned to die. He was under the sentence of death. He was nailed to the cross, just as our Lord was nailed to the cross. He was on the verge of eternity. Indeed, because of his sins, he was, in a manner of speaking, on the very precipice of hell itself. And perhaps that is the very condition of some man or some woman or some young person in this meeting house tonight. Oh, you may not be under some legal sentence of death from any government, from any earthly power. You may not be stretched out upon any cross. But nonetheless, you were born into this world a sinner. You were born into this world under the sentence of death because of sin. And the Bible makes it absolutely clear that life for you is at best very, very brief. There is but a step between you and death. You may not sense it in the same way as this dying thief sensed it on this particular day. You may not feel you have a little time left in this world, but I can assure you, as the hymn writer puts it, life at best is very brief. We're asked that heart-searching, that soul-searching question in James 4, verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Here's a question both saint and sinner would do well to consider. What is your life? And God gives us the answer. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. As Job said, man is of few days. In a very real and solemn sense, as we sit here tonight, healthy or ill, rich or poor, old or young, there is a sense in which we are all on the verge of eternity. We know not what tomorrow has in store. I think of that rich young farmer that Christ spoke of, and no doubt he had labored hard, working his fingers to the bone, as they say. And one morning, perhaps, he got up and he flung open the windows of the door and he looked out over the harvest fields. It was a bumper harvest. And he said to himself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And perhaps you're sitting here in the very same state of mind, with the very same attitude to life in this world. You have the world perhaps at your feet. Perhaps you are thinking to yourself, you've many years left in this world. And yet who knows, this very night, or perhaps some night next week or next month, perhaps some night this year, God will come to you and God will summon you into eternity. God will say to you these very words, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. How many in the year that has now gone into eternity expected to see 2012? But this night came for them. They were robust, they were young, they were healthy, they were strong. Maybe they were up in years, but nonetheless the bodies seemed to be strong. They had no thought of death, no thought of eternity. But tonight their body lies
the grave, because God required their soul. If God requires your soul this night, are you ready? Are you ready for death? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for eternity?
But in the second place, as well as the condition of this dying thief, notice his confession. There were, of course, two thieves crucified with Christ on this particular occasion. The other thief, the impenitent thief, he rejected the Lord. Death is here, quite literally staring him in the face. But he rejects the opportunity to be saved. And my, what an opportunity it was. And many people, you would speak to them today, and they would say, well, I'm not a believer, but my, if only I had lived in the days of Christ. If only I had seen the Lord perform these miracles. If only I had been there at the cross. If only I had been an onlooker on that occasion. Why, I would believe the gospel. I would get saved right away. Well, here's a man who saw the Lord. Here's a man who witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Here's a man who might well have been splattered with the very physical blood of the Lamb. And yet he goes to hell.
He goes to hell with blasphemy, oozing forth from his heart and pouring out of his mouth. He goes to hell with the sight of Christ crucified burned into his very soul. He goes to hell with the words of Jesus Christ, who spake as never a man spake, ringing in his very ears. What a missed opportunity. But I wonder how many have gone from this church with the gospel ringing in their ears, only to end up in a Christ rejecter's hell.
But the penitent thief, of course, confessed his sin. If you look there at Luke 23, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And of course, he wanted a physical deliverance. He wasn't speaking here about salvation from sin. He wasn't talking about being saved from the power of sin and from the penalty of sin. He just wanted a physical deliverance that he might go on living in his sin.
That's why he went to hell, mocking Jesus Christ.
But verse 40 says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Here was a thief, he was nailed to a cross, and he was gazing upon Jesus Christ, and he recognizes that Jesus Christ is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He recognizes that Jesus Christ is sinless, that Jesus Christ has done nothing amiss. And much like Pontius Pilate, I can find no fault in this man. I have scourged him, I have whipped the very flesh from off his bones. I can see him standing before me, dripping in blood, but I can find no fault in this man, certainly nothing worthy of death. The very soldiers here who took the spikes and the mallet or the hammer and they pressed those nails into the Savior's hands and feet. The soldiers who plunged that spear into his side. The centurion here, we read this evening, he had to acknowledge, truly this was a righteous man. And this penitent thief, he comes to the very same conclusion. And he sees the purity. He sees the holiness of Jesus Christ. And he looks at himself in the light of the cross. And he says, I am a sinner deserving of death. I am here condemned and my condemnation is just. I am worthy to die. I am worthy of judgment. I am worthy of God's judgment. I am worthy of hell itself. Is that how you see yourself this evening? Man, even if you're saved, you need to see yourself as a sinner. Oh, you may well now be justified. You're going to heaven by the grace of God. Your sins have been paid for, dealt with, blotted out, washed away, removed by the power and virtue of Jesus' precious blood. But you know you're a sinner deserving of the deepest hell. And until you come to see yourself in the light of the cross, until you come to see yourself like this man saw himself, until you come to behold your own sinfulness, your own uncleanness, and how you are worthy of nothing but the wrath of God and the pains and miseries of an endless hell, you cannot be saved. Jesus Christ spoke of hell as that place, that dreadful place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It is a place of everlasting punishment. Jesus said of the wicked, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Oh, there'll be many who will boast of their good works, so called, on the day of judgment. Christ spoke of them, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils and demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And Christ will say to them on the judgment day, depart from me, ye cursed. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Into everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and for his angels. And I want to tell you, every man and woman in this house tonight, that is what we all deserve. And the only thing that will keep a sinner out of hell is the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. And until you acknowledge that, until you see that, there is no hope for your soul. But notice not only the condition of this man and the confession of this man, but in the third place his call. Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, this is his call. He's now calling upon the name of the Lord. And we are told that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it was. This hell-deserving sinner was saved because he called upon the name of the Lord. And notice what he said. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now this thief was not a fool. Not only did he realize he was about to die, he could see the Lord. He knew the Lord was about to die. But God had given this man not only the intelligence or the intellectual knowledge, but God had given this man the faith to believe that death would not be the end of Jesus Christ. He knew that Christ was about to not only die, but to enter into his kingdom. He knew that Christ would live forever, King of kings and Lord of lords. He knew death was not the end.
He was no foolish evolutionist. He knew there was something beyond the grave. He knew Christ had an everlasting kingdom and he wanted to be part of it. He knew death would not be the end for him.
He did not want to go to the place of the damned.
He wanted to be with Christ in his kingdom.
And so he prays, Lord. Notice he owned the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord.
That's something that isn't really preached today. Or the word, the title may be given.
But we live in an age where so-called evangelicals will call men to some sort of altar, tell them to say a little prayer and go home believing they're saved.
That's not really calling upon the Lord. This easy believism. When I was in America, well, long before I went to America, but the controversy was still raging when I was there, and it was called the Lordship Controversy.
And there was a great controversy among evangelicals, so-called, because these men would be going about in the name of Jesus Christ, and they would say, just come and say a little prayer and receive Jesus as your Savior today, and then maybe a few months or a few years down the road, you can receive Christ as your Lord.
I want to tell you, it doesn't work like that. You can't take Christ as your Savior without taking Him as your Lord.
You see, in order to be our Redeemer, Jesus Christ must be our prophet. In other words, He must speak to us the Word of God, and we must hear, we must obey. We must obey the Gospel. Christ, in order to redeem us, He must be our priest, and we must receive Him as our priest, as the one who offered up His life as a sacrifice for our sins. But also we must, if we are to be saved, if Christ is to be our Redeemer, we must receive Him as our King, as our prophet, our priest, our King. Unless you receive Christ as your prophet, your priest, or your king, and your king, you cannot be saved. Unless you hear His word and bow to His word and obey the gospel, repenting and turning to Christ in faith, trusting in His blood, unless you receive Christ and His once for all sacrifice for sin as the way of salvation, and unless you bow to Him as Lord, as King of your life, you cannot be saved.
It's not my business to make salvation difficult for anybody. But I want to tell you, this easy believism is the gospel of hell. There is no salvation without repentance.
Oh, our repentance is stained by sin. Our repentance will never merit us a place in heaven. Our repentance will never make amends for our sins, no matter how many tears you shed over your past life, no matter how grieved you are over your sin, no matter how much you loathe your sin, it will never merit for you eternal life. Your repentance does not buy you a place in heaven. You will be saved by the grace of God through the merit and the virtue of the blood and the righteousness, that once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But I tell you this, no man will be saved without repentance. No man will be saved without bowing his knee before Jesus Christ as His prophet, His priest, and His King. No man will be saved until he calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Have you done that?
Not asking you, have you said some little prayer and gone home thinking you're saved? altar is cursed with men and women who have said countless little prayers, thinking their prayers have saved them. But have you ever truly turned from your sin and bowed your knees before God and accepted and received Jesus Christ as He's offered freely to you in the gospel as your Lord, as your King, and as your Savior?
Because unless you receive the Christ who is Lord, you have a false Christ. And that false Christ will damn your soul. The Christ we serve is King of Kings. The Christ we serve is Lord of Lords. The Christ we serve is God Almighty, manifested in the flesh. And no other Christ can save you. But thank God if you come to the Lord, He will save you. For only the Lord is mighty to save. Only Christ can save unto the uttermost all that come unto Him. But notice, in closing, the comfort of this man. Luke 23, verse 44, in the face of death, on the verge of eternity, Christ comforted this penitent thief. He said, verily. You know, sometimes you read the Bible, and even familiar passages like this, and the words don't really register, do they? You ever think about this word, verily? It simply means truly. This is the truth. In the face of death, men and women need the truth. They do not need some lying apostate dog to go to their bedside and tell them you've been baptized, you've been in the church as a member for years, you sang in the choir, you served in the committee, you were an elder. You've given unto the church. And all is well. There are ministers in our communities, and they're damning souls. Damning souls to hell. With their words of comfort in the face of death and eternity. Man, you need the truth. Verily I say, Christ said, you need the word of Christ when you come to die. Jesus said to this man, these words of comfort, truly, I say unto you. Doesn't really matter what I say about heaven and hell. It matters what God says in His Word. And when you come to die, you need to hear the word of Christ, truly, I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me. What blessed assurance. Christ gave that dying thief. The day will come. The night will come. For some, like that rich farmer, the summons will come, thou fool. No comfort there. This book holds forth no comfort for those who dare to live and die in their sins. Christ does not bury them in the sure and certain hope of any resurrection unto eternal life. Oh, they're buried in sure and certain hope. Well, hope is not the right word, but they're buried certainly to be raised from the dead, but it will be a resurrection unto damnation. When you come to die, will the truth comfort you? As we said this morning, it's good to have friends and family around about you, especially when you come to die. But the comfort that you need in the face of death and eternity is the truth of God's word. And this is true. This is the truth. Death is not the end. There is something beyond the grave. For those who die in their sins, it's everlasting damnation. For those like this penitent sinner who trust in Christ, die depending upon his blood, it is to be with Christ. That is the truth. Do you believe it? If you don't, you'll go to hell like a fool. Oh, that tonight you would believe, and like this thief, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's bow together for prayer.